Welcome everyone to the gathering. We're going to jump into tonight's lesson. And before we do, I'd like to just open with prayer. Father, thank you for each one that's here. And I thank you for each one that's going to be listening by podcast. And Lord, I thank you that you're a God that wants us free. Lord, you adore us. We have great value because you call us your treasured possession. You call us royalty. You call us, Father, and give us identity. And I thank you that you're also the same God that wants us to walk in freedom. Lord, you want us to be free, to love you more and to love others well. And so I thank you that there's nothing that separates us from that love. And Father, I pray for partnership. I pray tonight that each and every person would partner with you in a fresh way for more freedom in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is freedom? What is freedom? We hear that word a lot around the 4th of July. But what is freedom? Well, one definition is freedom is cutting the cord from things that bind us. It's untethering ourselves so that we can fly. God's heart is that we're free. And you know, his heart is that we wake up every day excited that no matter what happens, he's going to be with us. That's freedom. I can't tell you how liberating that was for me when I really grasped in my heart that God was with me all the time. Now, I knew that in my head, I could quote scriptures, but when it dropped from here to here and I began to know that he was really with me, it made a huge difference. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me to Galatians 5:2, let's see what the Bible has to say about freedom. It says in Galatians 5, verse 2, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery." And right there in that scripture, it tells us that Christ came, Jesus came to the earth so that we could not just be forgiven of sins, but that we could be free. Did you realize that's one of the reasons he came? It says it right there. In John 8, verse 32, it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Truth sets us free. Did you know that? When you really find out the truth about something, it can be freeing and liberating. Now, it can be shocking too. I've had that happen. But truth can set us free. And so one of my actual favorite prayers, especially when things just aren't quite adding up and you don't know why, is, "Lord, reveal truth here." What's truth? Reveal truth in any place that I believed a lie, that I've lied to myself, that somebody else is not being honest. Reveal truth. And I have seen God do that time and time again. In fact, my husband, he works in the, we have a rental company, and he was coming home and was telling me just stuff that's going on. He works in the oil field, and he was telling me this and that and this and that. And I didn't know any, I don't know much about the oil field, but just something wasn't adding up, and I couldn't figure it out. And so I said, "You know what I'm going to do?" I said, "Something doesn't sound right about all this, but I'm going to start praying for God to reveal truth." Well, about two or three days later, he called me from work. He was out in Pecos. And he said, "Hey, you know that prayer about revealing truth? Well, you can hold it for a while because I've got so much truth, I didn't have time to deal with all of it. I found out this guy was stealing, and I found out this, and I found out this. And I was like, okay. But that's one prayer God always answers. So he's a God of truth, and he wants us to know truth in situations, not just from his word, and that's where we can find out truth is his word, but he wants to be a part of your everyday life. So I just want to encourage you in that. And that doesn't mean that every day you're going to have, you might know some truth. You might know truth, and you might know about freedom, and that doesn't mean that every day you're going to have a skip in the park. You know, there are just some seasons in our life and some days, some weeks that are just a little bit more challenging than others. My 2020 started with my overseas care for my father-in-law, and he was hospitalized in Uvalde, and we have business down there, so we have a place here, and so I go back and forth. Well, it took me to Uvalde, and because he was hospitalized and he has dementia, I had to be his voice. I had to oversee and make sure everything happened. And I was trying to start the gathering, and I'd gone to Uvalde for 2 days and was there 7. When I came back, I found out a valve on our refrigerator had ruptured, and I've had water damage in my house. In fact, today I had 3 men that were contractors that were getting dust and everything out. Those of you that were here last year know that I went through some remodeling and got new carpet down, which was ruined. So it has come, 2020's come in with a bang, and I've been recuperating. I don't know if you remember the last gathering, the very last lesson was kind of limping around. Found out I'd torn my hamstring off of the bone. So I'm having to do PT right now 3 times a week, which is like an hour and a half. And I have all these things that I'm trying to accomplish. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every day is going to be without challenges. The good news is that we're overcomers. And the good news is all of these things have been just fabulous opportunities to practice walking in peace and walking with God and letting go, because I don't have time to be uptight about this stuff. I really, really don't. There are other things to do. And so I do have to tell you the other good thing. I have a book at the publisher. And so that was something that was exciting. And the publisher was waiting on me to get back with them and all that. So I will have my first book released the first of the summer, hopefully. So I'm excited about that. So what holds us back and keeps us from being free in our life? As I pondered this, and this was a lesson I felt like God gave me last year, and I've been adding little things to it as I felt like he showed me. But what I found when I felt like this needed to be a topic was I found 6 things in my life that if I don't deal with these, then I don't walk in the degree of freedom that God really has for me. And so that's what we're going to talk about, and then you can fill in on your questions as we're going along next to the number. So the first thing that I found that hindered me from being free was a misconception about God's love for me and relationship with him. You know, you've heard me say it before, but everything about everything about everything is about relationship. It's about our relationship with him. It's about our relationship with other people. It's relationship. And now there's some difficult people. If any of you don't have difficult people in your life, I've got a few I can give you. I'm happy to share. But these are oftentimes our grace growers. And I've learned in my life when there is difficulty to really press in and ask God, what is this about? Is this something you want to change in me? Is this about me loving those that are hard at times to just love? What's this about? But we can have a misconception about God and how He feels about us. Just like it was shared in testimony time, someone discovered they had great value. They discovered God wanted to be their friend. And I'm here tonight to tell you, in Romans 8:39, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how messed up your past has been. God still loves you. He looks at you and says, yeah, she might have messed up and done this. That's true. But the truth is, I still love her. The truth is, she's of great value. The truth is, she's dear to my heart. He's dear to my heart. That's my boy. That's my son that I'm well pleased with. And we've got to get that in our hearts. Romans 8:39 says, there is no power above us or beneath us, no power that can be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which He lavished on us through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. God loves you. Now, I heard that scripture from when I was, probably my earliest memories of Sunday school were when I was 4 and I came into relationship with the Lord, invited Christ to be my Savior when I was 10. If you haven't done that tonight, please don't leave without doing that. I would love to pray with you, and so would any of the team. But I invited Christ into my heart when I was 10, but I didn't really understand the love of God the Father, that God wanted to be a daddy to me, that He was that He wanted to be and lavish that love on me until I was a woman in my 30s. And that's a whole nother testimony. But you've got to understand how much He loves you. And if you're struggling with that, and don't be embarrassed or afraid, I feel like I've been on a journey, and one of my journey since I was in my 30s, and I hit the big 6-0 this year. I feel like I'm still, there's so much of God's love for me that I am have yet to taste of. But the truth is, when He spoke to my heart one day and said from Psalms 8, how He had crowned me with glory and honor, I read that and looked at that, and it was like this huge light bulb went on of how He had given me a crown. He said, I've given you a crown, Kathleen, you just don't wear it. And that showed me how I didn't understand the depth of His love. Ask God if you need a greater revelation of His love. That's one of my prayers all the time too. Lord, just give me a greater revelation of Your love for me. And I promise He's going to take you on a cool journey of that. See, we might struggle in a particular sin or area, but the truth is, Jesus loves you enough that He wants to walk with you and help you walk out of it. He's saying, come and bring this to me. I want to show you how to walk in freedom. And that's the truth. The truth could be, do you have a sin problem? Yes. Okay. None of us are exempt from struggling with sin. We can have a problem, but the truth is Christ has come to set us free. But our misconception, if we're not careful, can cause us to distance God from us. It can cause us to hold Him at an arm's length and only let Him in to so many of the areas of our hearts because we guard that place. See, when we have sin in our life that we don't bring to the Lord and say, God, I need to confess this to you. Sin is like I've got a microphone right here. And if I don't want you to feel my microphone, you can come up here for a minute, please. Would you mind? if I don't want you to feel this, I'm going to kind of hug you like this versus giving you a big hug where you can feel that. And that's what happens. Thank you. That's what happens, what we can do when we have areas of our life that we don't want to let God into. But God says right here, nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing. Nothing. Romans 8:39. So the second thing that can keep us from being free is forgiveness. Not forgiving and letting go of past offenses. Forgiveness is the power to heal wounds of the past. It can't change. I'm going to repeat that again. Forgiveness is the power to heal wounds of the past. It cannot change. Some of you here have been through some tough stuff. I know some of you have shared with me. You've been through abusive situations and difficult things, and you've had people really hurt you and betray you. And you can't change that. But what you can change that will help you walk free is to choose to forgive. See, unforgiveness is like playing a video in our heads or a DVD. When somebody's hurt you or betrayed you, it's like sticking that in your DVD player and playing it again and playing it again and playing it again. And the enemy tries to trap us up in that because it can get us to walk in bitterness and anger. And forgiveness is one of the keys. In fact, one of the things, and it's so true, in fact, I'm going to tell you this and you can check it out in your life. One of the things God showed me is that anger is rooted in usually one of two things. It's either fear or unforgiveness. And anger, it can be like a red flag. And when I realized that, I began to use my anger to identify what was really going on in my heart. I had when God was showing me this, my little girl, who's now 35, she was about 5, and I'd put milk down at the table for her to drink. And she's normally very tidy and neat and still is. But she hit the milk, and it spread all over the table and my tablecloth and everything. And I yelled at her, and I said, "Mallory Kathleen Maxwell, what did you do?" And scolded her. And she was my child. I really didn't have to discipline very much. I could just look at her with that look. And she was immediately usually repentant. And she just, "I'm sorry, Mommy. I'm sorry, Mommy." And I walked back over, and I was washing dishes, and I was like, "God, why did I yell at her? I mean, she's a kid. Kids spill milk, you know? I mean, it's not the, you've heard that saying, don't cry over spilled milk. I mean, really." And here I'd gotten angry. And I used that anger as a red flag instead of beating myself up and said, "Lord, what does this mean?" And I checked, okay, is there anybody I need to forgive? And immediately, my late husband, who was my current husband at that time, came to mind, and I was really mad at him because he had done something and then maybe that it hurt me. I could take that then to the Lord and say, "God, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. And I choose again to forgive my husband for whatever it was at the time." So if you have a problem with anger, I want to encourage you. God wants you free. And so when you do pop off, let that be a red flag. Am I afraid of something? Or is there somebody or something I need to forgive? Because unforgiveness can keep you in bondage and keep you from being at peace. It keeps our heart in turmoil. It keeps our mind from being at peace and settled. And it robs us of freedom in our heart. and letting go of unforgiveness and letting go of the offense, actually, forgiveness actually lets you out of jail. Do you know that? Because unforgiveness is like a prison. And when you choose to forgive somebody, you really let yourself out of jail, is what it is. And so how do you do that? Because sometimes the hurt is real and the pain cuts deep. It really does. I know it has in my life. And forgiveness means to cancel or pardon a debt, to stop feeling angry or resentful of someone for an offense. Forgiveness puts you in control. That other person, what they've done, is not holding you in bondage. And I was always one of these people, and I used to say, well, I'll forgive when I feel like it. I didn't want to be fake. So I would say, okay, when I feel like it, I'll forgive. And I just didn't want to be fake. It was more important to me to be real. And I didn't realize how that really had kept me in bondage until I heard a sermon one time about we can choose. We don't have to forget. We don't have to feel like forgiving. I can't tell you how liberating that was. Somebody said, you don't have to feel like it. You have to make that choice as an act of your will to forgive and just ask God to change your heart. And I was like, where has this been all my life? Because I kept trying to muster it up in my own strength. And that was never what God had in store for me. And when I realized that, I'm telling you, I could choose. I could say, God, I am mad as a hornet at so-and-so. But because you forgave me and because I need forgiveness, I'm choosing as an act of my will to forgive this person. And I ask you, God, to change my heart. Now, sometimes we can forgive something and that's it. It's a way. But when the hurt is really deep and the betrayal is deep, it's real easy to us to bring that back up and start playing that video again. And in those times, you have to choose again. Forgiveness is a process. It's not just a one-time event. I wish it was, but it's just not. It's more of a process. But you can bring your heart. You can do something out of obedience and then ask God to change your heart. And He will. It might take some time, but I promise you, if you keep going back to Him, He will. You know, sometimes our mate can hurt us. Leaders can betray you. A spouse can betray you. Maybe your parents betrayed you. Your mother can upset you or is critical of you every time you talk to her. The list can go on. And then sometimes forgiveness is the toughest when we've made a mistake. I don't like making mistakes, but I do. I do. And I used to, in fact, I had somebody one time make the comment to me, said, you don't need a devil to attack, you attack yourself. And that was true. If I made a mistake, I was so hard on myself. And now I made a mistake. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for that. And you know, it's like the Lord just said, get back up, let's get the dust off of you and get back in the race. So sometimes we need to forgive ourselves or we need to forgive God. And I know forgiving God can sound strange and funny, but when my late husband passed away and we had been married 30 years, I got so angry one day because I was having to deal with stuff on my own that I picked up something and threw it across the room and broke it. And I was like, where did that come from? That wasn't like me. It wasn't how I normally handled things. And I was really mad at Joe for leaving me. even though he died of a rare cancer and didn't have a choice. And I was mad at God that God took him for whatever reason. And I had at that moment an opportunity, and I did. I chose to forgive my husband for leaving me. And I chose to forgive God that he took him. I needed to say those things and voice them so I could move forward. I didn't have to understand why, but I needed to voice that. And so forgiveness is something that sets you free. I've recorded that. I've done a recording when I taught about this, forgiveness, before. I have not posted that on the podcast, but if you will email me, I will email you that recording until it gets posted. So let me just say that. If this is a chord with you, struck a chord, just send me a private email and I'll send you that recording and perhaps it can help you. You know, Jesus came to forgive. In Luke 1:77, it says, Jesus came to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came and sacrificed. He paid a great price for us to have forgiveness of our sins. But then he says in Matthew 6:15, if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. Man, that's just real cut and dry. If we want to be forgiven, we've got to be willing to extend that very same thing to other people. Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. It says, don't hold anything against anyone. Forgive them. For your Father in heaven, so that he may forgive you of your sins. See, we don't have the time, people, to hold on to the hurt and the betrayal. We don't even have time to hold on to the driver that cut in front of us and caused us to slam on our brakes and cut us off. We don't. That happened to me just this week in somebody, you know, in traffic. And it scared me. And, you know, after that person did that, I just said, okay, Lord, I choose to forgive. I don't have time to carry anything around. Even little things like that. Keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. In Luke 1:77, well, no, I gave you that one, how Jesus came to give us forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness. I challenge you that in the areas, and as God's bringing things, I can tell God's bringing people to your mind. As he brings things to your remembrance, as you're going through the lesson and you see something, make that choice as an act of your will to forgive just because you want to obey him. And I promise he'll meet you and help you to walk in more freedom. The third thing is healing of our heart from things of the past. You know, life isn't always easy, and our heart needs to be healed. Healing of the heart from things of the past. See, hurt. Forgiveness is one thing. I kind of liken forgiveness as surgery. Anybody in here ever had surgery of some sort? I have. You know, I went in and paid the doctor thousands of dollars for, what, an hour or two? But my healing oftentimes took months. It took months. And so sometimes forgiveness is like the surgery, but then our hearts need to be healed. And the beauty of it is Jesus came, and part of his job description was he came to bind up the brokenhearted. Let's turn to Isaiah 61. And I'm going to do a whole lesson on Isaiah 61. That's going to be one of our lessons. But for tonight, we're just going to talk about verse 1. And I want you to see that God cares about your hurt. I don't want to ever minimize some of the pain that some of you have been through, nor the pain that I've been through. The pain I went through of losing my husband, I started dating him in high school. And that pain, he's been gone now 10 years, but my healing has been a process in there. And there is that place of taking that to the Lord. You know, even at the 10-year anniversary, there were some tears this year, the 10-year anniversary of his death. And I remember just saying, Lord, I just need more healing in this area. Because life has gone on. I've remarried, and remarried 7 years ago, and have a wonderful man that loves me dearly and takes care of me. But there were still some things from my late husband. And so God does care about where your heart is. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom." Right there it is. "Freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners." Right there, the Bible tells us, it's in the Bible, He cares about your heart. He cares about the hurt that's there. And you know, I grew up in a culture, I had good parents, but one of the things I was taught was if I came home with emotion and shared emotion or hurt, my dad, he was kind of a tough guy, and he would say, "Suck it up, be tough, you're a Jones." And I did for a long time in my life until God brought me to a place in my 30s where I couldn't suck it up and be tough. And I wasn't a Jones any longer. But it was a time when I began to pour out my heart to the Lord, and God began to heal me of things that had happened way back in my childhood. I've shared some of that in previous podcast, but God wants to bind up our broken heart. And so in those areas where there's things you might need to be healed of, even from your childhood, there are some people one-on-one that can meet with you and pray with you. I'm happy to give them as resources and names to you. Sometimes it's us bringing, God heals our hearts in different ways. It might be going back there and getting prayer tonight from one of the team members. It might be you going and sitting with the Lord and saying, "You know, Lord, that really hurt when this happened to me as a child." God wants to go back and heal those deep things in our hearts so that we can be free. And it says in Psalms 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Do you know that the Lord cares about your broken heart from any capacity? Maybe you went to church somewhere and Christians were unkind to you. Or maybe someone in leadership didn't really represent the heart of Christ to you. Heartbreak can be in different forms and fashions. And there's also a podcast that I did last semester called Understanding and Releasing Heartbreak. And I would encourage you maybe to check that one out too. God, though, the beauty is He wants His kids healed and free. And so when we bring that to Him, it's His opportunity to do that. Run with Him, to run and take your hurt to Him. The fourth thing that I found that is important for us to be free is releasing fear. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and is likely to cause pain or threat. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and is likely to be a threat or cause pain. It's the feeling of anxiety about the outcome of something or our safety and well-being. But God has not made us to be a people that walk in fear, because fear is a robber, it's a thief, it keeps our hearts from being at peace. Fear is tormenting. And it held me captive for a number of years. I grew up in a home where I thought it was normal and later discovered. But I grew up in a home where it was fear-based in a lot of ways. And I remember growing up and just, you know, my mother, it's amazing I have hands now because she put that Lysol stuff on me all the time. And that's back then, that Lysol, that remember that concentrate in the brown bottle. Some of you are old enough to remember that stuff. It smelled, and she was Lysol and everything. If you stood still, you were Lysoled at our house. And there was a fear of germs. When I got married, my husband and I went on our honeymoon to Acapulco, and my mother said, now you got to take alcohol swipes, and you got to wipe all your silverware before you eat anything when you go to New Mexico. And I did. I mean, I took it with me. My husband, I'm sure he looked at me. He goes, what are you doing? It was like the germs. Fear controlled me in that aspect. And so there were all sorts of things. I know that sounds funny, but I'm just telling you the truth. And I had to be honest, as a woman in my 30s, I was afraid to go outside in my own backyard in Kerrville, Texas. Now, I live in a pretty good neighborhood, a safe neighborhood, that had a big fenced-in backyard, but I had fear. You see, that fear controlled me. And one day someone said to me, well, you know, fear is doubt and unbelief, and that's not trusting God, and that's sin. And I was like, what? No, it's okay to be afraid. And this dear person, older person, shook their head and said, no, God's not given you that spirit of fear, Kathleen. He's given you power and love and a sound mind. And he wants you to walk free. And one by one, you know, God didn't make me deal with all of my fears at one time. One by one, he would bring them up. And it gave me an opportunity to partner with him in releasing that fear. But some of the fears I struggled with were fear of failure. I did not do a lot of things because I was afraid of failing. I look back on my life, a lot of wasted opportunities because I didn't want to look stupid, look funny, or fail. And I had to bring that to the Lord and say, God, I give that to you, and I confessed that to you. And I ask you to forgive me because you haven't given me fear. I had a fear of rejection. I had a fear of what other people thought. And I had a fear of the unknown and change. And one by one, when God began to show me these, and I began to bring them to Him and called it sin, God began to set me free. We have a fabulous opportunity every day to partner with God. Did you know that? He wants to partner with you. He's not going to push something on you. Now, there's sometimes life can get tough and he backs you in a corner. I mean, that did happen to Paul in the Bible if you read it. It did. But he really is a gentleman. He gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to partner with him because he wants to be a part of our everyday life. He really does. And he wants to set us free. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, And that's where it says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we can conclude several things right there. Number one is that fear is not from God. And number two, it's a spirit. And it's not a good one. God's heart for you is that you walk free. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." So what do you do when you realize you have fear and anxiety? You call it what it is. You call it sin. You realize it's not from God. And tell it to go. It's not your friend. And I promise you, God will begin to set you free. And sometimes we need others to pray with us. And realizing how much God loves us is a big thing that can help you hurdle and get rid of fear. Because it says too in scriptures that perfect love casts out fear. There is a whole podcast on freedom from fear that you might want to check out too. The fifth thing is saying no to negativity. You say, now what are you talking about? Well, you know, we can have negative emotions about ourselves. We can have negative people in our life. And we can have negative words spoken to us. And those things, if we believe that, those things, and take them into our hearts, those things can keep us from being free. And, you know, one of the examples, when my late husband, when he died, I felt like my life was over. Now, cognitively, I knew it wasn't. I was 49. I knew I had three beautiful children. I knew that one day I'd be a grandmother. I knew that I had a lot of life ahead of me. But I wrestled with those feelings, a feeling like my life was over. I had to wrestle with them. And they were negative feelings. And I dealt with depression for a while, because it was just where my heart was, and I just had to keep taking it to the Lord. I can't tell you the days that I'd lay in bed after the alarm went off, and I'd say, God, I feel like my life is over. And it was like the Lord just said, get up and just go to work and just start the day with me. And I had to wrestle with their feelings. Some of you, you might be dealing with depression in your life. I want to encourage you that God wants you free of that. And don't let your feelings lie to you. And I had to just say, God, you got to reveal what's truth to me, just like we talked about earlier. But negativity in our life can hold us down. See, it says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to kill and steal and to destroy. We have an adversary. His name is Satan. He doesn't really like you. I'll just newsflash in case you didn't know it. And so he tries to rob and steal from us. And sometimes we just open the door and let him come in when we entertain negativity. And you may be sitting there and saying, yeah, but you don't know how difficult it is to live with my husband. I know some of you have negative people in your life that you do have to be around. But you can brush off those negative words and you can make a choice. You know, I've been in situations where somebody might say something negative and I might sit there and not respond. But when I walk out of that room, I say, I do not receive that, and shake it off like dust. We know, when we know who we are in Christ, that keeps us safe. And when we know our identity, that is protection for us from negative things and negativity that can be in our life. And we cannot surrender our identity to negativity. You can write that down. Don't surrender your identity to negativity. Who you really are is who Christ says you are. You're His treasured possession. You're a man of great value or a woman. You are royalty. And those scriptures we talked about last week. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new." You are a new creation. You're not a sum of all your past mistakes. That's not who you are. You might have done those things, but they don't have to define you. Christ says we're a new creation. So every time negativity comes into your heart or your mind, or Satan's whispering those lies, or maybe a friend is whispering those things. I remember going through just hard stuff, and there was a woman that actually went to church with her, and our kids played together. But at that particular hard time in my life, I had to distance myself. I had to learn to set a healthy boundary and just not be around her as much, because her negativity could rub off on me and I could quickly get very negative in my own life. And we're going to have a lesson on boundaries and what real love looks like. You can still like someone, but you can set some boundaries. And I couldn't be around all that negativity because I was dealing with so many other things. And so, say no to the negativity. We have a choice to brush those things off. And the sixth thing that I want to share that can keep us from walking in freedom is when we just see things with our natural eyes, but when it looks one way, but seeing things from God's, seeing our life and situation from God's perspective can help us walk in freedom. Seeing our life and situation from God's perspective can help us walk in freedom. It's like taking His glasses, it's like taking them and putting them on, and it's like, oh, that's what you see. That's what you see. In the mornings when I get up, I wear contacts, and until I get those contacts in, things just don't look right. I can tell you that. I can't really read unless I get my cheaters out. We have to run to the Lord and say, God, how do you see this situation? And God always has a better perspective than mine. I can tell you that, because I can look at it. I can look right now. I had to do this even this week because my house, folks, is upside down. Everything was taken out of my pantry to deal with the water damage from the refrigerator. So everything is in my pantry, is all over the kitchen and the dining room. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's just a royal mess. And I just really do kind of like things neat and orderly. I like it, but I'm having to learn. And I used to say, I don't say it anymore, I can handle anything as long as my house is in order. Well, it has not been in order for a long time now. But guess what? I am still standing up on 2 feet. And I am handling things, even though they may not be like I like them. But I really had to go to God and say, Lord, I don't know what this is about, but I really want to see it from your perspective. And one of the things the Lord said is, He said, well, I can give you some divine appointments. I can, and I'm telling you, contractor, anybody who comes through my door from water mitigation, and I'm telling you, it's like they file in, you know, it's like counting. Now, what's your name? What's your name? I'm going to start making them wear name tags. But I've had opportunity after opportunity to talk about the Lord to them. So they're like sitting ducks, you know, come on in. You're in my house. Well, here, let me put on my music for you. You know, they've been opportunities. So it may not, your life may not look like what you want it to look like, but if you go to God and say, give me your perspective, His thoughts and His ways are higher. And someday down the road, I'll be able to tell you the rest of the story. I don't know it yet. I'm just trying to keep my nose above water right now. And the dust off of my black pants, you know, I can't even walk through my living room right now. But it says in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." His ways and thoughts are higher. And I will tell you one thing. God is a God of redemption, and He's faithful. In every adversity that I have mentioned, except all the messed up house right now, I can't tell you that yet, I've seen His faithfulness, and I've seen Him redeem things in my life over and over again. I know He's going to redeem this. I just don't know how yet. But I know because I've seen His faithfulness over and over, and I've seen His redemption in my life in so many ways. So many ways. And so seeing other people and seeing life situations from God's perspective can bring you freedom. You know, I had a situation happen, and it was right about when I was beginning the gathering, and I had someone that really said some unkind things and were accusatory, and they'd just gone through some difficulty in their own life. I did know that, but it did hurt. It really did hurt, and I was like, Lord, I was praying about it the next morning. It's like, God, I choose as an act of my will to forgive this person. Lord, help me to see them from your perspective. What do you see when you look at them? And it was like the Lord showed me all this hurt that they were in and the turmoil their hurt, their life was in. And it gave me a compassion. See, seeing other people and asking God, how do you see this person? He can give you His love. I promise you, because I say, dear Jesus, you need to give me your love because I'd like 5 minutes in the flesh to hurt him. You know? I mean, really, I could straighten this out. But it wouldn't be in love and in kindness like God is towards me. See, wounded people wound other people. And so if you've got some people in your life that are a little difficult, ask God how He sees them. And ask Him to give you His love for them. When we rest in the fact that we have a God that is faithful and loves us, then it can change so many things in our life and bring freedom. I just want to challenge you to take the lesson home, work through the notes, and allow God to speak to you. Do you know that He really wants to speak to your heart? He wants to show you great things. He wants to help you see things from His perspective. And so I just want to close and just pray. Father, I just thank You for tonight. I thank You that, God, You really want us to walk in Your freedom. God, You love us so much. And so I just pray for Your peace to come and settle over each heart and that hope would drop like an anchor. God, You know where each one is and You know what they're struggling with. And I pray for whatever that is and whatever they think is like a mountain, God, that they would see You as such a God of grace and compassion and love, and that You're right there with each of us, Father, wanting us to partner with You for the freedom that You paid a great price for. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus. And the peace that He brings, and the kindness. Help us to see things from Your perspective, God, and others in our life from Your heart. And bless each family represented here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Thanks for listening to us today, and I hope you enjoyed the lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God and practice it. I want to give a shout out to a few people that have helped make this podcast possible: Laura Jane Elder, Mary Mitchellstein, Lori Milton, Kyla Melissa Johnson, Lisa Davis, and Linda Force. I appreciate their support. If you like this podcast, I'd like for you to consider becoming a patron. Your donations can keep them coming and are appreciated to help us cover cost. To give, simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. My heart is to share my life experiences and stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday lives through my real life experience with Him and to share His Word. I want people's hearts to be encouraged, healed, set free, and strengthened as they listen. I have chosen not to charge for podcasts as I know some cannot afford it, and yet I trust God to speak to those that can support the ministry. Also, if you enjoyed today's lesson, click the like button or leave a comment. I love hearing from my listeners, and your likes and comments help others and help spread the word of this podcast. Check us out too on Facebook at The Gathering Kerrville. Thanks again for joining us today. Live recordings of The Gathering are Tuesdays beginning January the 28th at the Kroc Center in Kerrville at 6:30 p.m. I hope that you'll join us live sometime if you're in the area, and come and see the awesome team that helps me facilitate these lessons. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.